Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Emily Smith of Guide to Wholeness, and I'm so excited to share this episode with you with one of my good friends, Shelly Kay. She is an expert in helping high-achieving women have a career they love without burning out. And Shelly is a leading career and leadership coach and speaker who specializes in changing the way women work so they can expand their leadership and maximize their impact at work without burning out. Shelly leverages 10 plus years of work as a top HR leader for Fortune 100 companies like Google, PepsiCo, and GE to help women experience what it means to thrive in their careers. Shelly is committed to helping high-achieving women have the job satisfaction, career success, and the life outside the office they desire without sacrificing their health and happiness in the process. And this episode is really expansive and golden because we discuss what it's like navigating your life and career as a high-achieving woman and this programming that you go through throughout life of trying to fit in the boxes, of trying to go above and beyond, and how that really worked growing up in school and how that does not apply at all in the workplace, and now how that actually leads to burnout and how you can actually shift your strategy and really have more of a healthy work-life balance and how to align with what is a passion for you. And also, I love Shelly's approach to navigating life and career as a woman because she's also certified in cycle-informed living. So we talk a bit about how to leverage working with your cycle and really making your life more balanced in that sense, where you're working with your energies instead of against them. So we're all about sustainability and finding that time for relaxation and presence and just leading this life from that space. And I'm so excited for you to learn from Shelly. You can learn more from her on her website, shellykcoaching.com, which will be linked in the show notes. And I will include her Instagram and her LinkedIn as well. She has a great LinkedIn community called LinkedIn Leaders that I'm a part of as well, which is really amplifying women's voices on LinkedIn, which is so needed. And I have gotten so much out of being in this community with fellow women founders and creators. So I hope you enjoy this episode and dive in. Welcome to the podcast, Shelly. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So we are aligned in so many ways, especially in the career coaching space for women. And you have an amazing background that I think would be really empowering for my listener to hear how you got to this place of being a career coach and your career steps that led you to approach career coaching in a holistic way, because I know you started bringing in that kind of mindfulness and balanced living into your coaching. So I'd love for you to share a bit how you got here.
Yeah. So I have a background in corporate HR. I spent a little over 12 years as an HR manager at large Fortune 100 companies. But I think one of my most pivotal career moments was when I made the decision to pursue HR, because I actually got my undergrad degree in accounting and started my career in finance.
What?
Yeah. And it was a really tough thing for me. You know, I went into accounting for the wrong reasons. I didn't know that at the time. They seemed like great reasons. And then I found myself in this career that I didn't really enjoy, but it looked really good on paper. And I was also told that I might not have the skills to make it in HR. And so I really had to advocate for myself and believe in my vision and believe in the skills that I knew I'd had. And I'm so glad I did, because I thrived in HR. And so that's my first message to anyone listening to this is believe, like, you know, you have gifts, believe in your gifts, and you know, you were given them for a reason, and you don't need other people to recognize them in order for you to pursue them.
Yes.
So yeah. And yeah. And from there, you know, I thrived in HR. I loved that. And another pivotal moment for me was when I realized how out of balance things were. I had a moment where I had just been through a breakup, what I thought was going to be the love of my life, you know, shopping for houses together, all the things, joint checking accounts. And I was going through that breakup. I was couch surfing at the time, didn't have a new apartment yet. And I thought, I know exactly what to do. I am going to book a retreat for myself over Thanksgiving. And first of all, I worked too late the day that I was supposed to go to the retreat, got a speeding ticket on the way to the retreat because I was rushing. And then on Thanksgiving Eve, the night before Thanksgiving, I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning in the retreat lobby working, responding to emails. And so that was another wake up call where I'm like, hey, I need balance. This isn't okay. I didn't set any boundaries. I'm going through a really emotionally tumultuous time. And I am just like working myself into the ground in the process. So that was another turning point for me where I'm like, I love this HR thing, but we got to have some balance in here. And so that was a big deal. And then I would say the final turning point for me in my corporate career was when I made the change to work in a culture that felt really aligned. The last place I worked was at a tech company in Seattle, and the progressive culture, the openness to new and different ways of thinking just felt so aligned for me. And so I feel that in each one of those pivotal points, like one, pursuing the work that you like, two, making sure that you can have balance in the process, and then three, being in an environment where you can really thrive, like those all helped me find my happy place. And now I can help my clients find, you know, their happy spot in those areas.
Oh my goodness. So another thing we have in common, I did not realize you had started in accounting. I wanted to so bad. And guess what? I was so bad at it. I went to a university that was mainly accounting focused. So, you know, I felt almost like I have to, and you know, on paper, it's like great money, stability. And the problem was I'm already so bad at it from the start that it was like, okay, this is not going to work. So I'd love to hear though, like, what reignited your passion in your career? Like, how did you decide HR is the right path for you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, and I can't believe that accounting coincidence, but I never knew that about you, and you never knew that about me. Yeah. But I actually always wanted HR. Like, I just get these moments of knowing in my life, and HR was one of them. And I talked myself out of it. And I let other people talk me out of it because accounting is stable. There's more career opportunities. The money is better, blah, blah, blah. The skill set is super transferable. And so, yeah, it came down to just that deeper knowing that I had ignored. And then it became unignorable when I wasn't happy. And I was in a training program when I graduated college, a financial training program. Mm-hmm. And I saw the woman running the program, which was in an HR job. Mm-hmm. And I remember even on my first day of orientation, I said to myself, I'm going to have her job. That's what I want to be doing. I knew that from day one. It took 18 months for me to get there, But the my first HR job was working for that woman, not being her, but working for her. And so, yeah, I wish I could tell you all these things of like, I love working with people and this and that, but it really just came down to, I knew it. I just knew that was for me.
It was an inner knowing. And yeah, so often we get this knowing, you know, especially as women, and then we ignore it. We're like, that's not, you know, that's not ideal. That's going to be requiring a lot of discomfort. And you still push through that. And, you know, even yourself, like focusing on getting yourself to that retreat, even if you were speeding on the way there, you were able to do that for yourself. And that is so huge. And would love to hear from you, like your perspective of why finding passion and happiness and fulfillment in your career is so important.
Yeah, it's the only way. It's the only way. So when I just, when I think about the future of work in general, future of workplace cultures, the future of all of it, the only way for it to be sustainable is for people to be doing work that they care about, that leads to a bigger purpose, and that supports a life outside of work. And it, I mean, being 12 years in HR and having my own experience, like I know I've lived it and I've seen what happens when we overwork ourselves and we deprioritize the connection with the passion and the fulfillment. And there's health implications, there's mental health implications. And at the end of the day, like what I just said is like, trust that you have your gifts. You can't fully share your gifts with the world when you are overworked and exhausted. And every single one of us has something really important to share, but you have to take care of yourself and you have to prioritize yourself and you have to like treat those gifts that like they are special because they are, in order to really, really share them. And when we are in that place of feeling fulfilled and passionate, it's amazing what can unfold. And it's very counterintuitive right now. So it takes work, you know, you and I, the work we do with our clients every day, it's an act of bravery and courage. And it is so important because each woman who steps into that and claims that gives permission to other women to do that. And that's really how I feel we are going to change the working culture.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, in finding work that's aligned and fulfilling for you, it really is about, you know, really embodying yourself and knowing yourself and what you value, what your skills are. Yes. It's matched and lined up with your confidence and what your preferences are. And, you know, a lot of women have low self-esteem and it's almost like, I don't even get to have preferences. And I think that's been the major problem with people being in an unfulfilling work. They just don't think they have another choice. And we've been conditioned that way. So it's very understandable. We've been conditioned to prioritize, you know, professional success against our own fulfillment and making money. And I think we literally have all experienced this unless we, you know, saw examples growing up of parents maybe pursuing their passions. I think that's, you know, one way to kind of escape that, but it does take so much daily to really give yourself that permission to not settle and allowing, because it's really about allowing, right?
Mm-hmm. Allowing and trusting.
Yes.
Yes.
So much trust involved there in knowing what's right for you will line up for you, knowing that it's out there. I think that's another thing that I'm sure you see with clients. It's not about fitting yourself into what you see is out there in career paths, things like that. It's really more about coming down to knowing yourself. And, you know, I think we can both preface this as well. We both have this same perspective that while we're saying this is all the most important thing, we also recognize that life outside of work is actually what this is all supporting. So the career is really the vehicle to what you were saying, you know, better mental health, better physical health, fulfillment outside of work. And I would love to hear from you your thoughts on how women, how my listener can create sustainable work-life balance in their career and avoid this type of burnout cycle that so many of us very easily fall into.
Yeah. So one thing that is so important, which you also touched on, and I cover this with my clients, our entire first month is focused on this, but a deep understanding of who you are and what you need. I call this the energy month, like understanding what fuels your energy, what drains your energy, so that you know what you need to protect. And it comes down to those things that you'd mentioned, your values, your vision, your purpose, what are your strengths? So I think it really starts there in knowing yourself and committing to honoring those things. Because when you honor them, the prioritization becomes easier. Mm-hmm. And the balance of where you can say no, you know, where you want to lean in, I think that will come naturally as well. So I think that is the most important foundation. And it is self-discovery work that we're not taught in school. You know, before I did my coaching certification, I was like, values? I need to know my values. Like, I was like, huh? I mean, of course, like respect and love and peace or whatever, you know, but to actually really get clear on that exploration is quite powerful. So I think that's the starting point. And then the other two things that I do with my clients is dive into mindset, understanding, you know, we're our own worst critics, and it's a constant, you know, radio show going on upstairs. And so really getting clear on, now you know who you are and you know your vision, what's the mindset and beliefs that you need to bring that to life? And then connecting with yourself and your body. I know you are a champion of embodiment. And as we talked about before, of like that ignoring the inner knowing, as women, especially, I mean, all beings are intuitive, but especially as women, we have this intuition and we have these amazing bodies that are able to create life. And really taking the space to tune in for them, to your body, is where you get that self-trust and where that ultimate confidence comes from. And that allows you to then continue to make the choices and advocate for what you need to have the balance and the fulfillment.
Yeah. And to summarize that, you know, it's knowing your values, which also can change over time. So I think it's like a continuous journey. It's not like, I guess I thought one day, you know, I come up with all my values. Okay. You know, as you grow in your career, it's like, oh, wow, my values shift. So it's like this deep relationship you have with yourself. And that mindset is literally everything. Like, that's where every action comes from, that mindset, the energy you have. I love that you focus on that with clients and your body, and you have an interesting perspective. And I'd love for you to share more about, I know you're certified in cycle-informed living. And do you have any insight into how women can tap into their cycles to better manage their energy levels?
Yes. So being aware of my cycle changed my entire life. It changed how I eat. It changed how I exercise. It changed how I talk to myself, speaking of mindset, because I really thought that I was meant to be a robot. Mm-hmm. And you be able to do the same thing every day, rinse, repeat, you know, never get tired, whatever it is. And once I really learned about this, it was such a relief. Like, oh, I'm actually in a body with deeply fluctuating hormones. And I'm not meant to do this, the same thing, you know, rinse, repeat every day. So I think the first thing to do is just to notice, you know, everyone's cycle and how they respond is a little bit different. So I think just spending some time noticing is really, and to just learn yourself and learn what you need and learn when you have more energy for certain things. It's just, and then you can lean into it, and it's just an exhale. Mm-hmm. And if I had to give two just high level tips, I would say when you are on your period, be as easy on yourself as you can. I never understood the value of that. I thought we push through, we do things as normal. If I can't, then I'm a baby. And that's, mm-hmm. but those are sacred days, and leaning into rest and just going slow, it serves you the rest of the month, like a deposit in the piggy bank, and it will come back later with a big yield. And then the other thing that I would say is lean into your ovulation. If you know, I use a temp drop. So I do know, and you know, you can kind of look at your cervical mucus and whatnot. I'm sure there's great resources out there. But those are the days when, if you have a more challenging conversation, or if you have a lot of commitments, you're going to have more energy to do them. So I would say that ovulation energy is really, it's really something. And so letting yourself use it is also liberating.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love this. Like giving yourself permission to rest during, you know, and I know each phase of our cycle is aligned with a season, right? So yes. When you're menstruating, that's winter. Is that right?
Yes. It's different people align different seasons.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think Alyssa Vitti, who's like the most popular in this space, calls it winter. I learned it as autumn, I think, yeah, but it's kind of like the hibernation. Let's get cozy. Yes. Yeah.
And then is ovulation, is that springtime, like right after? Okay. Yeah, that's very helpful. So start to notice that for yourself, for my listener, and have those important conversations when, you know, you're external facing and you have that energy. And yeah, I think that cycle informed living is just something as women, we literally need to, you know, be in relationship with. And I felt so disembodied when I wasn't aware of my cycle. And this was, you know, even up until recently, maybe the last 6 months, where I didn't know when my cycle would come. Like it would just happen one day. And I think, oh, okay. And I look back on that and I'm like, wow, that is living so disconnected from my body. And I had a lot of internal resistance to learning my cycle because I thought, okay, that's great, but I'm going to need to still, you know, tap into this capitalistic go, go, go society. So how is that going to serve me? But I'm learning that actually, the more we nurture this in ourselves and give ourselves permission to live in a cycle-informed way, it's actually changing the collective, because it all starts with the individual and unsubscribing from that. And I'm hearing more about countries in the world that are now offering like menstruation leave in Spain. And I'm honestly like, why doesn't every company have that? Like, it's a little wild to think about, right?
Yeah. I am all for that.
Yeah. I'm excited for a future where that's just normalized, because it's honestly like, how are we functioning at our fullest capacity those days? We just aren't. And I think the future of work, now that there's possibility of 4-day work week, there's already companies doing that, and more flexibility, more remote flexibility, I think that's really helping women to honor this part of themselves, because it's just like not aligned with our capitalist society.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we think, oh, you know, things are challenging at work, or a challenge is coming my way, so I'm just going to double down and work harder.
Are you a high-achieving, heart-centered woman who's ready to experience more flow, more fulfillment, and more freedom in her life and career? I invite you to learn more about my program, Reclaim, which supports you in reclaiming your wholeness and your feminine essence to experience more alignment, fulfillment, and flow. And you've probably understood by now, and listening to this podcast, that there's a feminine aspect of yourself that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be embodied so that you can feel in balance and live life in a softer, more connected way. And to do that, you have to embody your self-worth and emotional empowerment so that you can move through the challenges that inevitably come up when you start walking towards a life that is soul aligned. And becoming embodied in your feminine helps you to anchor in a deep sense of faith throughout these challenging transitions, helps you to reclaim your boundaries and permission to say no, and to remove subconscious blocks and increase your ability to receive, which is a wound in the collective of the feminine. And a lot of this is embedded trauma in the body. And I use a somatic approach so that you can release these blocks in a safe way and start to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your body, which is always there and inviting you to start living from this space instead of from your head, which is, you know, the version of yourself that's anxious and in analysis paralysis, is from living from your headspace. So if this sounds supportive to you, I invite you to book a free 20-minute consult with me to discover what do you need to embody to get this soul aligned life that you desire, what needs to be released, what needs to be embodied. And this is complimentary, so we can see if this is a good match and a good support for you going forward. You can find the link in the show notes, talktoemily.com, to book your session today.
Right. And there's actually this whole other option of looking at where you are in your cycle, your superpowers, honoring that.
Yeah.
Honoring yourself in other ways. Yes.
Yeah. And you're working with that energy instead of against it. I think that's what you're teaching, is like how to maximize your energy, how to maximize your impact, because it's not about pushing, pushing, pushing. And I'd love to hear from you what you recommend to my listener as leading with more impact and taking up space as a woman. What are your thoughts and any tips you can share around that?
Yeah. One thing that's super alive for me right now is authenticity and realness. Yeah, I've had some challenges in my life recently that have brought this to the forefront for me. And it's just been a continuous theme with my clients lately. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, always like
that. Yeah, but there's this perception of, if I want to be a leader and have impact, I need to be on and perfect all the time. And I want women to know that the biggest impact is in being willing to show up imperfectly. Yeah. And leading with your authenticity instead of leading with your perfection.
Mm.
And as high achieving women, we're in a cycle of constantly chasing perfection, displaying perfection. And on the inside, it's a different situation, right? Like I'll meet a new potential client and, you know, their resume looks impeccable and they're completely miserable, but haven't had a chance to voice it until we're on a call together. And so I think leading with impact for me right now is about leading with realness and creating space for the not so easy. And because that's what people need, is support in their own loosening of the reins and perfection. And that's really what we need to see in leaders. And ultimately, I believe that that's where the impact, the greatest impact will come too, when people can just be themselves and know, like, they don't have to spend their energy proving and chasing. And what can we create from that place?
Yeah. And I have to say, you're just such a shining example of that. And even in our friendship, I so appreciate your authenticity, your vulnerability. And it's like you said, it just deepens that sense of trust and connection. And leaders are people, and we're not here to put people up on pedestals. And I think the most inspiring leaders are the ones that admit, you know, they're not perfect. And, you know, you talked about high achieving women and feeling, and I relate to this myself, you know, in their careers, feeling like they need to show up perfectly. Where do you think that comes from? What do you notice with your clients? Like, what is this phenomenon?
Yes, this phenomenon. We need to end it right here, right now. Yeah. So I think it starts at a very young age. And for just being praised for having it all together and for doing things well. And then that praise becomes an addiction to the validation. And so we just keep chasing it. And I mean, I can just think of back of myself and grades and school and this, and it's almost insatiable, you know, because you can never, like, the validation lasts for a little bit and then you're chasing the next thing. And there's never really enough to fully feel, you know, the void, which is, I think we're just really wanting love and connection. Yeah, but specifically with women in their careers, there is a clear trend that I see when we are new in our career, you know, fresh out of college. You're in an individual contributor mode, very much a doer mode, an executor type role. And you want to prove yourself and you want to do a good job. You're not fully confident in your skills and your gifts yet, or advocating for yourself. You just want to do really well. And so you get the praise from being able to execute a lot, execute efficiently, execute 12 hours a day, whatever it is. That's what defines you as a quote unquote good worker. And that's where the confusion starts about where our value comes from. Because we think my value comes from executing. My value comes from what I call being in workhorse mode. And as you progressively get more responsibility and more leadership, if you don't have the support and make the conscious choice to say goodbye to the executor workhorse mode, then you're still in it. You're just like new title, more prestige, what more responsibility, but you're still working yourself to the bone to try and do a good job. And a phrase that I love that I say all the time is, you are not a workhorse, you are a unicorn.
Yes.
And to really make the impact that you want, to have the fulfillment that you want, to have the balance that you want, you have to step out of the mindset of my impact comes from working really hard into the mindset of my impact comes from honoring my values, leaning into my strengths, taking care of myself, inspiring others. And like, that's where the real magic happens, but it's completely untraditional.
Yes. Okay. This is gold. This is so well, you broke this down so well of like, how do we get in the cycle? And it's almost like a trap. Like now you're stuck in that mode of doing, doing, doing. And I know so many women experience this, then they want to be promoted. And that's actually about letting go and delegating. And it's like, you almost are having trouble doing that. And maybe that shows up for some people as micromanagers and they're not even meaning to do that. I mean, I think I've experienced that where it's like, they still want to do things. It's just like, we're conditioned in that way that you need to do all the things. And it sounds like from what you're saying, it's more important about who you're being versus what you're doing. Is that right?
100%.
Yeah. And that feels so much lighter. That just feels like you can exhale and you can lean into your embodiment of the unicorn. And that unicorn is just shining and contributes, of course, but from this place of authenticity and overflow versus I just need to take everything on for everyone and be everything. And I think that is a major issue for not even just women, but like the workforce in general. Like, how can we navigate career progression and how can organizations support that? And, you know, again, like we talked about, it starts on the individual level, recognizing this. So I really, really like that, you know, my listener can take this away and reflect on what are they doing versus how they're being. You know, you were talking about, you know, being inspiring and taking good care of yourself. And I will say, you know, all my favorite managers, they were the ones that, you know, had a physical activity that they loved doing every day. And, you know, they came in the office, they were in the best mood ever because they're like, I did my workout or whatever it is. And that's something that I just look at now and I'm like, you know, evaluating who I want to work for and who's a leader that I aspire to be too. It's like, how are they taking care of themselves physically, emotionally, like therapy? I almost feel like in this world, I know that, you know, there are different levels of therapy. Like sometimes you don't have insurance or it can be, you know, inaccessible, but I know there are more ways, but it's almost like if you don't have a way of processing your emotions or, you know, sharing those with people around you and getting the support you need, it becomes very hard to be able to be that shining example of a leader. Is that something that you see with clients that you're working with?
Absolutely. Because so much of the work we do is the self-discovery. And it's in creating a repertoire of tools so that they can maintain their journey after our 12 weeks together.
Yeah.
And so the more you know yourself and you learn what you need, the more you can find what works and give yourself what you need. But I would say it's essential because we all have emotions, no matter who you are. I don't care if you're Buddha. You're going to have emotions. And as feminine beings, it's really important to honor them and let ourselves feel them.
Mm.
But then it's what we decide to do from there. So when we have the practices to like let them move through our body, to be present with that, you know, whatever it is, and we can handle it, like we can navigate that, then we bring a completely different energy to our work. Versus if you don't have the skill, then you bring the emotion to someone else, you know, and then it's like charge meets charge, turns into an explosion. So yeah, I think it's essential and it makes your working life and your working relationship so much easier.
Oh my gosh, I'm 100% with you on that. And that is really what brought me to feminine embodiment. And that whole body of work is realizing like, not, it's not just me. It's definitely, you know, the high achieving career, I wouldn't even say career focused, but like career driven woman is, we are programmed to disconnect from our emotions, like in the workplace. Like we are supposed to be very logical and fit in. And I went through that experience and just realized how out of alignment it was and how I needed ways to process my emotions and become emotionally empowered, because yeah, it was not working with communication. And I think you have the same perspective, but women, we are, like you were saying, emotional beings, and we can almost have this emotional chaos happening inside of us if we do not know how to like weather that storm for ourselves. And, you know, we're not taught these tools in school. And so I love that you're helping women with this aspect of career management, career leadership, because I think it not only helps the individual woman, but like you said, it has a ripple effect on everyone who she works with, and even in relationship outside of work. And I just think that's what's so needed in today's workforce, is just authenticity, being able to share what's going on emotionally, yeah, mental health wise. Like we are all integrative beings where we have these needs, and it's almost like impossible to ignore now. And you are another beautiful example of embodying this in your own life. And I know you've worked with a sleep coach, and you are always active, you know, in Ben doing so many fun things like mountain biking and skiing. And, you know, how would you recommend to my listener, how do they start to figure out what's a good way for them to be with their emotions and find a way to process them that'd be helpful to uniquely them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a good inquiry to start with is to pay attention to what you want to do when you start feeling your emotions, or your like challenging emotions come up for you. So for example, for me, a long time, I really struggled with emotional eating. And that was my coping mechanism. And so as I was transitioning out of that, I would notice, okay, I really want to go to the cabinet right now, but I'm not physically hungry. Mm. And we all have different, sometimes it's scrolling the phone.
Oh yeah.
Scrolling the phone, or even it could be just wanting to be social with someone, not wanting to be alone, you know, whatever. We all have our things. So I think, yeah, first of all, knowing what they are, and then setting a very reasonable time period to sit with yourself. Like if it's 5 minutes, one thing that I love doing is laying on the ground. I don't know why.
That's so healing.
Like laying on the ground, or I'm going to play a 3-minute song, mm-hmm, and just do whatever my body wants to do. But like some very reasonable time period just to interrupt the, yeah, pattern.
Yes.
And be with yourself. And it can be the most simple thing. It can be 5 minutes of breath work, you know, and just starting small will turn into a ton of awareness and probably some really good learnings, because our emotions always have messages for us.
Totally. And like, I love what you said, that we have the power to interrupt that pattern of, like you said, we all have that thing that we are going to turn to numb, and it's different for everyone. For me, I remember I made a resolution early, you know, maybe it was 2 years ago, where I was like, I need to stop going down internet rabbit holes when I am feeling emotions, because that's what I would do. I think of a topic and then I'm like, oh, you know what? That's the focus. And I would hyper fixate, and I knew I was doing it. And I am a full believer and supporter of movement practice like this, with, you know, laying down with your eyes closed and just letting what wants to be there be present. Because like you said, it will have messages for you and you can just tune inwards, connect to your body, and you're just going to feel so much better than if you were going to numb. And that's just actually like shoving your emotions down. And honestly, then it becomes, you know, stored trauma in the body. And then you have to do a lot of releasing of that. And it's better to just in the moment, you know, just look inside. And I think as career-driven professional women, we are programmed to look externally. And so it's a huge step to just tune inwards, like you were saying, but giving yourself that step, it's not that hard. I love, love, love how you said it just interrupts the pattern, and you keep doing that and you'll see the changes in your own emotional awareness of, oh, I see like this is coming up for me and here's how it manifests and how can I take care of that before it blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And if your awareness isn't there yet, you can always schedule in 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
With your body.
And yes. It's like a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're making time and you're building that connection and it builds over time and you can start with 5 minutes. I think that's so beautiful. And I love your approach to leadership and career, which is really connecting yourself with your body and your needs, like emotional needs, physical needs, and prioritizing those. And that's what actually career fulfillment comes from. And I would love for you to share with my listeners, Shelly, where can they find you online? What offerings do you have? Tell us.
Yes. I mostly hang out on LinkedIn.
Yes.
So Shelly K on LinkedIn. I also have a website, shellykcoaching.com, and I'm on Instagram, Hey Shelly K. And then the other thing I will mention is that I'm launching the second cohort of my group program called Phoenix. Ooh. And, yes, we rise from the ashes of overwork. And that will start in June, but I have a wait list going and I'm starting to enroll in April. So if having deeper support in these areas sounds exciting to you, send me a DM. I'd love to chat.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I'll include all your links in the show notes. So my listener, you can check that out. And Shelly, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast and for also shining your light in the world. I know you are a Leo and that just comes through so much in your leadership and how you lead with heart and integrity, warmth and strength. And that is just something that you're able to offer your clients and them coming home to themselves and being empowered by your example and by the teachings and the holding that you have. So thank you so, so much for what you do.
Thank you, Emily. I so receive that. And I appreciate being here. So thank you for hosting me.
You're so, so welcome. Thank you, Shelly.